Hello, you're very welcome to Inside the Studio, episode 11 today, recorded on Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 2013. You're very welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael McAndrew, and I'm just testing out my brand new application for doing my my audio clips here, and this is called Soundbite. I just found it there very recently. Soundbite is a desktop program and also an iPad program as well. I think it's available on the iPhone and iPod Touch as well. But it was $4.50 in the App Store, €4.50. You can have racks and racks of audio clips. You can bring them in from your music library. That's basically how it works. And it's a really, really fantastic application, which I will be using for all my audio clips. It's a desktop version as well, and I believe it starts at about $40, which is a pretty good price. But anyway, this is not what I wanted to talk about on the show today, because I've got so much stuff I wanted to talk about today on the show. But I will go into more detail in the future about Soundbite and about how you can use it and things like that. But what I do want to go over today is my video podcast hosting update and what I'm currently doing over that and explaining what my plan of action is going to be with that. And I'm also going to talk about Adobe Audition and why move from Audacity, if you should move from Audacity. I'm going to look over the advantages and disadvantages to both Audacity and Audition, so that you can make up your own decision whether or not you want to move or whether or not you want to use Audacity or Adobe Audition. Both of them are fantastic programs, and I'll be going over that as well. And I also will be going over audio and video encoding for your finished podcast and what you should do. And so we might as well get right into it anyway, to talk first of all about my video podcast hosting update. Now, I'm still currently investigating other video hosting solutions, and what I've found so far is that video hosting solutions that are out there are extremely expensive. They are really, really expensive. I was looking at a number of different solutions, some that allow you to pay as you go. So pay for every view, for example, or pay for every file that you upload. But they're still really expensive because, sure, if you get 50 views on your video, it's fine. But if you get thousands and thousands of hits, you're gonna end up paying a fortune of money. And the other thing is that you don't want to promote your podcast as much, because you know you won't be able to afford the price that it's going to cost you if it suddenly goes viral and hundreds of thousands of people or thousands of people are watching or listening to your podcast, you know. So that's, I was looking at some of them, and there are disadvantages to them. I was also looking at other solutions that probably most people use, and I found that their plans are very expensive. You know, it's for me, it's difficult because I am on a very limited budget, so I don't have much money to be able to spend on video hosting or audio hosting, audio file hosting. But what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to wait until April 5th, which is just this coming week on Friday, and I'm going to see what happens with Blip.tv, because if you do not know, Blip.tv have decided that they're going to be rolling out pre-roll ads on every one of the videos that you have hosted on Blip.tv. Of course, you get paid for that. Of course, you get paid for the pre-roll ads, but they're kind of doing a little bit of restructuring. They used to have a pro or a premium player and a premium account that you could go with. It was $8 a month, and you had a few extra features, but they're kind of doing a whole restructure. They got rid of the pro accounts, and what they're doing now is they're trying to just have their entire revenue based on ads. So, and it's completely free video hosting, so I completely understand it. I'm not complaining at all. But I do not like having ads on my podcast. Especially ads that I can't really control. But I'm going to wait till April 5th, I'm going to wait till Friday and see what happens. And I will be making my decision then on what I am going to do. I am preparing to make the move over to a different service. I'm doing a lot of different things right now. And I will go over that on next week's show, most likely. I will go over that. But currently, I am sticking with Bliptide.tv until Friday, until I get more information on exactly how they're going to be rolling out this, these pre-roll ads. And I will update you next week on that. But I want to talk about Adobe Audition and why you should or should not move from your current audio editing software. So if you have an audio podcast, you're probably going to be using Adobe, or not Adobe, but Audacity. It's a free program, an application for the Mac and PC, and it allows you to do all of your audio editing, audio processing, and audio recording directly from the application. Now, of course, I don't recommend that you record using Audacity. If you're doing an audio podcast, I recommend that you record using a dedicated audio recorder. And that's because computers can crash. Whereas an audio recorder is designed specifically just to record audio, and the chances are that it won't crash. Maybe the battery might run out, but you plug it in, you know, plug it into the wall, and of course, have a nice big SD card to make sure that the files, the SD card won't get full up. I do recommend that you don't record using Audacity if you have an audio podcast. But anyway, what I'm going to do is a head-to-head comparison with Audacity and Adobe Audition to see the advantages and disadvantages of both Audacity and Adobe Audition. And if you don't know what Audition is, Adobe Audition, it's a fantastic program. It's part of the Adobe Creative Suite. It's a paid program for editing your audio podcast. I use it in every single podcast I do. I use it extensively in my workflow. I do a video podcast, so I edit all of my video in Premiere Pro. But what I do is I use Adobe Audition with Premiere Pro, and I use Audition to process my audio to make it sound really nice. And I will be going over that. But why? I mean, Adobe Audition is quite an expensive product. I think it's about $600 if you wanted to buy it outright. What I have the entire Adobe Creative Suite, and what I use is the Adobe Creative Cloud. And what the Adobe Creative Cloud is a service that what you're basically doing is you're renting the Creative Suite for a fixed amount every month. So you pay month by month a fixed amount per month, and you get access to the entire Creative Suite from Adobe. And it's fantastic because if you couldn't afford to just normally buy the Adobe products, you will be able to afford to rent it. And also, when the Creative Suite 6.6 comes out, or 6.5 comes out, you will be able to get those updates without having to pay for the updates. You get the updates for free. Whereas if you've bought Adobe Audition CS6, then when CS6.5 comes out, you're going to have to pay for the upgrade. So there's a lot of advantages to using the Creative Cloud, and I don't think there are disadvantages to it. I mean, why wouldn't you go with the Creative Cloud? Fantastic, fantastic service. And it's the full editions of every, you know, when I first saw the Creative Cloud, I was thinking, oh, is this like a cloud version of all of the Adobe products? But it isn't. It's the full version, completely installed locally on your computer, and you actually get more things than the Creative Suite, than just the Creative Suite. You get a lot of additional applications that are really, really beneficial. They're really fantastic applications. So I recommend you check out the Creative Cloud. But anyway, first thing I'm going to talk about is the interface and the differences between the interface in Audacity compared to the interface that you get with Adobe Audition. And so Audacity has this really, it's a really kind of a simple interface. You've got a waveform of your audio file. You can also add multiple tracks if you wish. And the waveform is in a blue color, which is kind of easy to see. But something that I think about the Audacity layout is it can be a little, I kind of find it a little bit confusing, this whole layout here on Audacity. It's not that it's a little bit confusing, but it's a little bit difficult. It doesn't have this kind of easy to use kind of feel to it. But you have to remember again that Audacity is a free program, a free application, and it does everything you need to do. There is a little bit of a learning curve to it. That's kind of what I was trying to say, was there is a little bit of a learning curve to Audacity to kind of figure out how to do certain things. There's little things like when you're playing back the file, if you want to see the decibel meter, the decibel meter is quite small. So there's a few little kind of interface things that make your life a little bit harder to do, especially with your kind of cutting and splicing features are not as extensive as you might hope. But really, it is a fantastic application. There's a few little things in the interface, but again, you have to remember it's a free application. If you look at Audition has this really sweet looking interface. It's kind of got this gray kind of background look to it. The waveform is in a green color, which I think is really easy to read. And the navigation options are fantastic. If you go back to, if you look at Audacity, the zoom in and out buttons, there's no kind of a shortcut to zoom in, zooming in and zooming out, really. The buttons are up on the top right corner, so you have to click the zoom in and out buttons every single time you want to zoom in and out. And I find that a little bit of an annoyance because I use the zoom in and out features a lot, extensively. Whereas in Audition, there's a very easy navigation, kind of a bar on the top, and if you can very easily zoom in and out and scroll across the entire waveform or the entire audio file. So it's really, really easy. And then on the left side of the Adobe Audition interface, you've got all of your effects racks, you've got all of the files that you've got open currently in your workspace. It's really, I think, something that is very well designed for the professional who needs to get a lot of audio files out very quickly. And also, there's a lot of extensive interface features that are fantastic. You can, of course, completely customize this. You can customize it to your own needs, customize it to basically whatever kind of interface you want. There's a number of presets for the kind of interface that you might want, whichever one you find easier. I like the default interface because it's really easy to use. You can see you've got this huge decibel meter right here. They've got a gigantic decibel meter that really is very, very easy to read what decibels you're reaching. And that's kind of something that's very important. If your audio levels are too low, you want to be able to very clearly see how low they are so that you can boost them the correct amount, or if they're too high, bring them down. So there's a few little things there with Adobe Audition that are improvements, that are vast improvements to the interface that you wouldn't be able to get in Audacity. And I think that they're very good. And of course, you would expect a paid program to be better than a free program, and it is. But I mean, I don't know, you can very easily get used to Audacity and get used to the interface and really learn it off, so that you know, there is a little bit more of a learning curve to Audacity. And that's really the difference between the free Audacity program and the paid Adobe Audition program. There's also a number of different differences between the tools that you get with Audacity and the tools that you get with Audition. So with Audacity, You can use a multiband compressor if you want. You can use Apple's built-in AU multiband compressor. It's a very, very good software compressor that you can use built-in. You can also use a program called Chris's Dynamic Compressor if you wish, which is a plugin that you can install for Audacity if you wish, and it's a very good program. And With Adobe Audition, it has its own multiband compressor with a number of fantastic presets. So you don't really need to know what you're doing in that multiband compressor, because multiband compression can be quite complicated at times. And all you might want to do is put in a preset and it sounds fantastic and off you go. You might just want that. But and Adobe Audition has that with their multiband compressor feature, whereas with Audacity, you have to manually put in the settings for those multiband compressor settings. So you have to kind of have a little bit more knowledge about multiband compression in order to get the right multiband compression sound. Now, again, with multiband compression, you can completely ruin the sound of your podcast if you're not careful. But using the presets generally, you cannot ruin the sound of your podcast. It just improves, dramatically improves the sound of your podcast. And I think adding a little bit of multiband compression and adding in things like a hard limiter to level out the podcast and make it sound more punchy really makes a difference to the sound of your podcast. You could be using a terrible microphone and you could make it sound fantastic with a little bit of multiband compression and higher limiting and equalization, and you know, adding a few little things in the software after the fact to make it sound even more punchier and umphier. You can definitely use a cheaper microphone and make it sound like radio if you wish. You know, some people love the radio sound, others think it's too bassy or too trebly, or you know, so I personally don't really like the radio sound. I try to go for something that isn't radio. But, you know, so there are a lot of differences in the tools. Cutting and splicing options are obviously more extensive in Adobe Audition. So you have a number of different tools there. The compressor is, again, in my opinion, a little bit better in Adobe Audition. There's also a number of different features when it comes to exporting your files. In Audacity, you can save as a WAV file, an AUG file, but in order to save it as an MP3 file, you have to, from within Audacity, you have to install the LAME encoder. And a lot of people actually have better experiences using iTunes to convert a WAV file to an MP3 file, as it's a little bit higher quality. A lot of people say that. And if you want to export your audio file as an M4V or a WMA format, then you're going to have to install the FFmpeg encoder as well. So you have to kind of install third-party plugins for Audacity in order to get it to do what you want sometimes. Whereas with Audition, it includes WAV, it includes MP3, AIFF, and also includes Monkeys Audio, APE, I like that, and also QuickTime Audio Only, which is the .mov format, and way more. So it includes everything you need right out of the box, which you would hope it would for, as it costs a lot of money. So you really would hope that Audition would kind of include that stuff. But with Audacity, you could pretty much do everything you can do in Audition. Just, you may have to install a few more plugins. So now, I'm going to go on to the head-to-head comparison between Audacity and Adobe Audition. So in order to make this as fair as possible, I recorded a raw audio file with a number of different mistakes in it or pauses that I'm going to have to edit out of it. And what I did was I opened up Audacity and I opened up Adobe Audition on both on my computer, and I pressed the record button on both and spoke, right? So it's the exact same recording on both audio editing softwares, recorded using the software, and now I'm going to go ahead and edit that. I'm going to edit it, I'm going to add in my dynamics processing. And once I have that, once I've basically made it into a finished audio file, then I will play back both audio files to see which one sounds better. And also you'll be able to tell which one I could work on faster. Of course, that's a very personal thing, which one you find easier to work on. But I obviously you'll be able to tell which one I found it easier to work on. So to start off, I'm going to do the first test here, the first in the head-to-head comparisons with Audacity. So let me switch over to my computer shot here if it wants to do that. Does it want to do that? There it goes. Okay. So now for the audio listeners, don't worry. You won't be missing out on much because I'll be going through the head-to-head comparison. I'll be talking it through. So of course, if you want to see the video, you can look it up afterwards, but you won't be really missing much in the head-to-head comparison. There isn't really much to see here, really. But I'm just going to press play here on the Audacity file. Okay, let me see here. Let me go back to the beginning. There we go. Okay, so straight away, I'm hearing some things that I'm going to have to edit out here. Right, and there I can see where the waveform starts and where the talking starts. So I'm going to select that, and I'm going to press the delete button. And that gets rid of that for me. And then I'm going to press
test recording. Recording with Adobe Audition and Audacity.
Okay, so I see a long pause there. I'm going to take that long pause out of there. Okay, that's pretty much that done.
At the same time, recording both to try and tell the differences between Adobe Audition and Audacity and what the advantages and disadvantages are to both.
Okay, so I heard a bit of an ah in there, so I'm going to take that out. I'm going to also take out the end of that recording there. So I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to zoom in to see if I'll be able to find...
The advantages are to both.
Let me see if I can scroll.
Between Adobe Audition and...
Okay, it's a little bit further in here.
Tell the differences between...
Okay, so there's the ah. I can see the ah in the waveform. I'm going to take that out. I'm going to take out the t.
Try and...
Okay. So I've taken that out. And I'm going to play it back now and see if
this is a test
done all my editing.
Recording with Adobe Audition and Audacity at the same time. Recording both to try and... Tell the differences between Adobe Audition and Audacity and what the advantages and disadvantages are to both.
Okay, so I've done all of the editing there. I edited out a number of different as. I've edited out pauses. I edited out the beginning and the end parts where there was no talking. So the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to select the entire file and I'm going to add an effect to this. And the effect that I'm going to use is the Dynamics, or not the Dynamics processor, but the multiband compressor. And I've actually put together a preset here that I did myself here. You can have four bands here, okay? So four bands for your multiband compressor. You can set thresholds, headrooms, and EQs for all four. I'm not going to go over what these mean, but I'm just going to do a preview here to see the difference.
This is a test recording. I'm recording with Adobe Audition and Audacity at the same...
Okay, so that's just a little bit of a preview there. You can tell it sounds a lot punchier. It sounds a lot if you're listening in headphones. Of course, if you're listening through speakers, you might be able to tell a difference here. But if you're listening through headphones, it sounds a lot punchier. I'm also going to probably add a little bit of post-gain here. If you're adding pre-gain, that's going to affect the processing. If you're adding post-gain, that's after the processing. I think I'm going to add maybe... Oh, there's already about 3.5 dB of gain put in there. Yeah, I'm going to put that in there. I'm going to do a preview.
This is a test recording. I'm recording with Adobe Audition and Audacity. At the same...
And this is a really nice feature of Audacity. It allows you to do a quick preview of the audio file to see if it sounds good enough to you. And I'm going to say okay to that. And I'm going to play it back now.
This is a test recording. I'm recording with Adobe Audition.
I think that sounds really nice. Okay, so that's the finished product done. I've just edited. Now, that was about a 20-second file. Of course... When I was recording it, I left in a lot of mistakes so that I would be able to edit them after the fact. when I was recording it, of course. But there you go. That's me editing about a 20-second file with a number of different pauses and ads, and then adding in some processing in Audacity. So now I'm going to move on. I'm going to go to Adobe Audition right here. So this is something that's a little bit different. This is the exact same file. I'm going to play it back. This is a test recording. I'm recording with Adobe Audition and Audacity. Okay, so there's that little kind of a table noise there at the beginning that I'm going to first of all select and get rid of. This is a test recording. I'm recording, and I can see in the waveform here, you've got that pause as well. Whoops. I'm going to take that pause out of there. I'm going to go back a little bit here.
At the same time, recording both to add.
Okay, I can see that in the waveform here, so I'm just going to zoom in, scroll over to it right here. Okay, I can see it there. And got rid of that there.
To try and tell the difference.
I'm just going to go back a little bit more, just to go over it to see if it sounds okay.
Tell the differences.
Go back a little bit more.
Both to try and tell the differences between Adobe Audition and Audacity and what the advantages and disadvantages are to both.
Okay, and I'm going to just cut out the end here as well. Okay, so I'm going to just play it back right from the beginning again and see if I have any more edits I need to do.
This is a test recording. I'm recording with Adobe Audition and Audacity at the same time. Recording both to try and tell the differences between Adobe Audition and Audacity and what the advantages and disadvantages are to both.
Okay, so that sounds pretty good now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add in my multiband compressor. Now, do note that I have already done this preset just like what I've done in Audacity. And of course, if you're using these applications to do an actual edit, you would have already put together your own preset. I have my TAT multiband put in here. So I do note that I'm using the same type of compression. I'm using a multiband compressor in Audition, and I'm using the multiband compressor in Audacity. I'm not adding in anything else. Usually in my workflow, I might add in like a hard limiter or something like that. But in this case, I'm just going to be going head to head with the two different types of multiband compressors. Now, my settings here, I've got you've got four bands, and I've got a few different settings in here with Audition. I've got you can do a threshold, gain, ratio, attack, and release on each band. So you have a few different options. You've also got brick wall limiters on here as well with the multiband compressor in Audition. You have a few more options here. But what you can do with Adobe Audition is you can play it back without affecting the audio file, and if you're happy with it, you can click the apply button here, and this will render the effects in the effects rack to the file, and there's no going back from there.
This is a test recording. I'm recording with Adobe Audition and Audacity at the same time, recording both to try and tell the differences between Adobe Audition and Audacity and what the advantages and disadvantages are to both.
Okay, so that made a big, big difference to the sound of that audio file. It sounds a lot punchier. Also, do note that I didn't do any changes to the gain here, but what the multiband compressor does is it automatically boosts the audio for you to a higher, closer to the 0 dB. So what it kind of does is it normalizes it more, the multiband compressor in Audition, in my opinion. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to apply this to the file, and you can see here now this is the finished product here. This is the processed file, and you can tell that the file looks a little bit different to what it did before when it wasn't compressed or wasn't processed. So what I'm going to do now is both of them are finished. Okay. I think it actually took about the same time for both. I'm pretty sure it did. What I'm going to do here is I'm first of all going to open up, that's not Audacity. I'm going to open up Audacity here first, and I'm going to play back the file from the beginning in Audacity. Then I'm going to play it back in Audition. I recommend, if you want to hear the differences between the two files, then I recommend that what you do is play it back using headphones. Because if you're playing, if you're using headphones, you'll be able to tell the differences a little bit better. You'll be able to see or be able to hear the differences, because headphones are a little bit more accurate than if you're using speakers. But I'm just going to play the Audacity test first. This is a test recording. I'm recording with Adobe Audition and Audacity at the same time. Recording both to try and tell the differences between Adobe Audition and Audacity and what the advantages and disadvantages are to both. Okay, so that sounds really nice. And now I'm going to play back the Adobe Audition file. This is a test recording. I'm recording with Adobe Audition and Audacity at the same time. Recording both to try and tell the differences between Adobe Audition and Audacity and what the advantages and disadvantages are to both. Okay, so that was, I found that quite interesting. There was, what I noticed here is, it's on both programs, both applications, I was using a multiband compressor. But yet there were still two completely different sounds. And really, I think it's a matter of taste. Which one do you prefer? Do you prefer the multiband compressor in Audition? Or do you prefer the multiband compressor that's built into Audacity? Which one do you prefer? Now, do note that I'm using the Mac version of Audacity. That multiband compressor that I was using is only available on the Mac version of Audacity, as it's one of the Apple built-in effects. Apple has a number of different built-in effects here, audio effects, that you can use with GarageBand and Apple Logic Pro as well if you wish. So they've got a dynamics processor in here as well. They've got a graphic EQ, delays, distortions, filters, high pass, low pass, reverbs, as well as the multiband compressor in there. So that's only available on the Mac version. If you're using the PC version, you're only going to get the effects that are built into Audacity. You will still be able to use Chris's dynamic compressor, as that's a plugin. That's called Compress Dynamics. But what I wanted to do here is just show the differences between one multiband compressor and another. The multiband compressor on the Mac edition of Audacity and the multiband compressor on Adobe Audition. Everything will be on the same on both Mac and PC editions of Adobe Audition. But it was very interesting to hear the differences between the multiband compressor in Audition and the multiband compressor in Audacity and the different kind of sounds that you can get out of both. And so I'm not going to give my opinion on which one I preferred. What I'm going to do is I just wanted to put out that test out there and let you decide which one you preferred, right? I also put out the differences in the interface in there as well. And look, try out both. I recommend you try out both if you're thinking of moving to Adobe Audition. If you think that it's worth the investment to move over to a premium paid audio editor, what you can do is you can download the 30-day free trial of Adobe Audition. Try it in your workflows a few times. You've got 30 days to try it. You can use it as much as you want and see if it works in your workflow before you make that purchase, because it's quite a lot of money to put into a piece of software. So try it out before you buy it, and see which, do you still prefer Audacity, or do you think it's worth making the move over to Adobe Audition? I just did a few tests there today. I went over the interface changes or the interface differences, tools, the differences in tools, and of course, the head-to-head comparison in doing an audio workflow and what the differences are there. So there you go. That's pretty much what I wanted to talk about today with Adobe Audition and comparing it to Audacity. So next I want to talk about audio and video encoding for a finished podcast, complete finished production. I'm not going to talk today about encoding files directly for editing. just the finished podcast. So questions that you might be asking is, what is encoding? Why is it important? What quality audio and video should I go with? So what encoding settings should I go with, etc.? So when you record your video or audio podcasts, you should record to a high quality or lossless format, okay? I won't be going too much over that today because I just want to go over encoding to a finished podcast. The reason why you should record to a high quality or lossless file format is because when you edit a compressed file, you're going to lose quality. So what you want to do is edit a very high quality file so that you're not going to be losing that much quality, or a lossless file, which means that you're not going to lose any quality when you edit it. However, if you want to upload your file, your finished product, to the web, then there's no point in encoding it as a lossless or high quality file and then uploading it to the web, because no one's going to be editing that file. Right, it's just a finished product. The only thing that people are going to be doing is watching it or listening to it, right? So, and also, there's no point in uploading a file at large, because if you have a lossless or a high quality file, it's going to be a very large file in comparison to a compressed file. So what you want to do is be able to compress it so much that you're not, it's kind of a balance. You want to get good quality, but a small file size, right? So you want to get a compress it enough so that it's small enough, but only compress it enough so that it's not, you're not losing any of that quality, or you're not losing a substantial amount of that quality. So there's a little bit of a balance to go on there, and I will go through kind of recommended encoding settings as well, encoding settings that I would recommend for you for both audio and video podcasts. So that is pretty much what I'm going to go through. And I'm going to go through audio first. I'm going to go through audio codecs to start off with, because it's very important that you kind of know the names of these codecs and know what they're used for. So audio codecs, the first audio codec I'm going to go over here is WAVE. W-A-V. This isn't spelled W-A-V-E. This is only spelled W-A-V. Some people call it or pronounce it WAV. Some people pronounce it W-A-V. And I pronounce it WAVE. This is a lossless codec. WAVE is a completely lossless codec. You should only record to this format, okay? If you're using an audio recorder, chances are it's going to record to WAVE as it's a lossless format. When you bring this into your audio editor, be it Audacity or Adobe Audition or even GarageBand, you won't be losing any quality, okay? And that's something that's very important. Another audio codec that's quite popular is AAC. This is Apple's dedicated audio codec. It's a pretty good codec, but it's not supported by every device. It's mostly only supported by Apple devices, really. Other computers will play an AAC file as well, but there's a lot of devices out there that won't play an AAC file. But it is a good codec, nevertheless, if you're using an Apple device. And then probably the most popular audio codec out there is the MP3 codec. This is the recommended codec for podcasting. If you're putting a finished product out there, a finished podcast out there, the reason why pretty much most podcasters use the AAC code or the MP3 codec for is because it's supported by pretty much every device, be it mobile or like a computer. And it's also supported by iTunes, of course. It's basically universally supported by all devices. And it also provides pretty good quality while also having very small file sizes. So it's a pretty good codec. Right now, I would not recommend that you record to an MP3 file, because when you edit that MP3 file, you're going to lose quality. So you definitely don't want that. So now we're going to go on to the actual audio encoding part of this, because so far I've only covered audio codecs. So the audio encodec, the audio encoding. So whether you're using Audacity, iTunes or Adobe Audition to create your finished audio podcast for the web, you should always use the same encoding settings. It doesn't matter if you're using the encoder that's built into iTunes for creating your finished product, or the encoder that's built in, or the Audacity encoder for the LAME encoder for MP3, or the encoder that's built into Audition, you should still always use the same encoding settings. Very important that you do that. So I'm first going to go over some encoding jargon that you have to know. There's a few kind of words in there that I'm going to explain when it comes to audio encoding, and then I'm going to go over some recommended settings that I've put together for audio encoding. So let's go over the encoding jargon first. The format is the first one. The format of your audio file is either, could be MP3, could be AAC, could be WAV, WAVE. These are the codecs that I went over earlier on. That's your file format. The next thing that I'm going to go over here is sample rate. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do before I even explain what a sample rate is I'm going to explain the difference between analog audio and digital audio. If you look at analog audio is a waveform. Okay, that's what analog is. With digital is packets of data. It's ones and zeros, okay? And so the advantages of digital is, if you've got a digital cable, let's say a really long digital cable. No, let's say you've got a really long analog cable and a really short analog cable. The really short analog cable is going to have better audio or higher levels or better audio than the longer analog audio cable, because as the analog signal goes a further distance, the signal gets lower, it gets fainter, okay? So it's like water going out of a hose, right? As the water goes further, there's less water, right? So, but with a digital audio file, you can have a really long long cable, and it's still going to have the same audio quality. It's not, the audio isn't going to get lower, but if you have a digital cable that is so long that there's no signal going through, it's not going to get lower, it's just going to be low signal. So with a digital cable, it's either on or off. Whereas with an analog cable, you can lose some of the, for example, if you have a longer cable, you could lose some of the high end, you can lose some of the volume, but you're still going to be getting the most of the audio file or most of the audio signal through, okay? So, but when it comes to converting an analog file, an analog audio file, which is pretty much usually how it's recorded, if you're converting that analog file that analog signal to digital, then the sample rate is how it affects the quality of that digital analog to digital conversion. Okay, this is something, it might sound a little bit complicated, but I'm going to explain it now. The output from your mixer is in analog form, okay? But once you take that output from your mixer into your computer, you're doing a digital conversion, because your computer only understands the digital signals. So you've got to convert that audio over to digital signals. Now, when you're converting that audio from analog to digital, you can choose a number of different quality settings. The quality is dictated by the sample rate, okay? So the sample rate is the number of samples that are taken of the analog audio per second, okay? So what you've got to do is if you look at that waveform, okay? You've got, when you're sampling it, you take a sample of that waveform in a number of different locations and make it into a digital file. So it's kind of hard to explain. But basically what you're doing is you're sampling that analog audio and converting it into digital. And if you've got a higher sample rate, it's obviously going to be higher quality, okay? Because you're sampling more of that audio. you're taking more little samples. You're taking more little kind of. It's like joining the dots, right? If you're joining dots that are very close together, you're going to get more. It's going to more look more like a line. But if you're taking dot, if you're joining the dots and they're kind of spread apart further, it's going to look more jagged. That's basically what it's doing. It's sampling that audio, that analog audio signal. So obviously, and you don't really have to understand what the sample rate is. I'm just trying to explain it the best I can. I don't think I explained it too well, but and don't worry if you don't get it, because what you do need to know with the sample rate, though, is that the higher your sample rate is, the higher quality it's going to be. Now, of course, it does help you if you understand the sample rate. It does help you greatly. And also, the it's in hertz or kilohertz. Okay, so an example of a sample rate would be 44,100 hertz or 44.1 kilohertz. Okay, that's the exact same thing, by the way, because 44,100 hertz is the exact same thing as 44.1 kilohertz. Okay, so that's the sample rate. I hope I didn't confuse you there. Channels is the next thing. So you can have one or two audio channels. Some audio files may have five channels or seven channels. That gives you extra depth. But when it comes to podcasting, you only have one or two audio channels, mono or stereo. That's basically what the channels are. You have one file or two files. A stereo file will give you kind of, you can pan it right or left. So if you've got a lot of music in your audio file, you might want to consider a stereo file. But the file sizes are going to be bigger, and there's a few disadvantages to a stereo file. Another term that I'm going to go over here is bit depth. This is the accuracy of the software that is processing or encoding that audio. So for example, a 32-bit depth, or 16-bit, okay? So that's just going to dictate how high the quality of your encode is going to be, okay? Usually it's about 16-bit. Then you've got the bit rate. Now this is a term you might come across a lot, is the bit rate. This is the amount of data that is played per second, and is usually in kilobits per second or megabits per second, or kilobytes per second, or megabytes per second. Okay? So for example, 64 kilobits per second, or 128 kilobits per second. Okay? If you're using, and this is something to note, and this is one of the kind of disadvantages to stereo. A stereo file is typically going to be double the size of a mono file. If you have a mono audio recording that is 128 kilobits per second, that 128 kilobits per second bit rate is going to be applied on that one audio file. But if you got a stereo file in 128 kilobits per second, 64 kilobits of that per second of that is going to be put on the left channel, and the other 64 kilobits is on the right channel. Okay, so it's split in half, the bit rate between the two audio files. Okay, it's not going to be 128 kilobits per second over both. It's split in half, right? So in order to get this, that's in order to get the same thing. So a 64 kilobit per second mono file is the equivalent of a 128 kilobit per second stereo file, basically, in quality terms. Then there's a variable bit rate and a constant bit rate. Okay, a variable bit rate is a bit rate that is constantly changing. Why would you want a bit rate that is constantly changing? That is to get better quality, and you're also achieving a lower file size. Okay, that's basically what it's doing. And it kind of makes sense if you think about it, because sometimes the bit rate's going to be higher, sometimes the bit rate's going to be lower, but you're still going to be getting higher, because when the bit rate is higher, it's higher quality. And it's also going to be lower file size, because sometimes the bit rate goes lower, okay? And then you got constant bit rate, pretty self-explanatory. It's the same, it's a constant bit rate. Same bit rate all the time, okay? So now, I'm going to go over my recommended audio encoding settings for mono audio. This is the minimum first encoding settings I'm going to go through is the minimum encoding settings for mono audio. So if your podcast, if you want your podcast to go out as a single file, as a mono file, okay, then here are the minimum safe encoding settings for mono audio. What do I mean by that? Well, that's the minimum encoding settings that you can go for, minimum compression settings that you can go for to have decent quality audio. If you go any lower than that, you're probably going to get poor audio quality. Okay, so you can use these encoding settings and have a very good quality audio file. Okay, so the format has to be MP3 if it's a finished podcast. Okay, so in this case, I'm only talking about finished podcasts, so it's going to be an MP3 podcast. The sample rate is going to be 44,100 hertz or 44.1 kilohertz. That's the sample rate that we're going to go with. The bit rate is going to be 128 kilobits per second. Okay. The bit rate is going to be 64 kilobits per second. I was thinking there. No, it's going to be set to 64 kilobits per second, set to variable bit rate in order to get the file size or the file a little bit lower in size and a little bit higher in quality. Okay. So let's just go over that again. MP3. File format, sample rate set to 44.1 kilohertz, bit rate set to 64 kilobits per second. I will have all of these encoding settings in the show notes if you can't remember them right now, so there's no need to take notes. Just look at the show notes after the show, right down next to the podcast, and you'll be able to get all these settings, okay? So that's my minimum encoding settings for mono, okay? You can get away with that and still it'll be very clear. Very easy to hear. You won't be able to tell really any quality differences. Now I'm going to go over my minimum encoding settings for stereo. Okay, file format again, MP3 if it's a finished podcast. Sample rate again the same, 44,100 hertz or 44.1 kilohertz. My bit rate is going to be 128 kilobits per second. Set to variable bit rate for higher quality, smaller file size. That's 64 kilobits per second per channel. So you're basically getting exactly the same audio quality as you get with the mono, but you have to double the bit rate in order to get the same quality because it splits that bit rate over the two channels. 64 kilobits per second over each channel. Okay, now I'm going to go over my encoding settings. These are my personal settings. You can, if you feel like the minimum settings are a little bit too low, you want a little bit better quality, sure, you can go with mine. Mine are a little bit higher quality, but really, you won't tell the difference. If you're stuck for size, just go with the 64 kilobits per second on a mono file, 128 kilobits per second on a stereo file, and you probably won't notice the difference. Most people won't anyway. But what I'm going with at the moment is mono. I only have one file, and that's because I don't play much music. The only music I play is the intro, and so I don't really feel the need. Like, the intro is, yeah, the intro is stereo, but, I mean, it's just the intro, right? The rest of it is just panned right to the center, just my audio. That's all you're hearing. So there's no point, really, in having a stereo file. I'm saving a little bit of space in terms of in file size there as well. So I'm just going with the mono. Format is MP3, of course, because it's a finished podcast. The sample rate is set to 44,100 hertz or 44.1 kilohertz. And the bit rate I'm using right now is 96 kilobits per second at a variable bit rate. That's 96 kilobits per second. Just a little bit higher than that 64 kilobits per second. That is the minimum, okay? So, I'm going to move on now to video encoding. First thing I'm going to go over when it comes to video encoding is the video codecs. So, the first video codec I'm going to go over here is the F4V. This is a flash video codec. Most websites that use flash, like YouTube, for example, they will convert it to an F4V file format or an FLV file format. FLV is also a flash video codec, very similar to F4V. There is also the H.264 codec. This is the standard video codec for the MP4 format. It's pretty much the standard codec that everybody uses for a podcast. And then you got the MOV format. This is QuickTime. This is Apple's video codec, similar to Apple's audio codec, the AAC codec. This is the MOV, Apple's video codec. There's also the MPEG-4 codec, if you want to use that as well. It's kind of an old codec now. Most people just use the H.264 codec. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to some video encoding jargon. Now, I've pretty much gone over the a lot of the audio jargon that's out there now, and in when it comes to video encoding as well, the bit rate, the sample rate, well, the bit rate also applies in video, because it's the with the bit rate, it's the amount of data that's being sent per second. Okay, so that applies for video too. And of course, when it comes to video encoding, you have to remember that with video, there's also audio. So all of the audio encoding settings, you have to know when it comes to video encoding as well, because you can set the audio encoding settings in a video file. Okay? So the first term I'm going to go over here is resolution. So the resolution is the amount of pixels that the video has. The more pixels that your video has, the higher the quality. A typical 720p HD video is 1280 by 720. If it's a 1080p HD, full HD video, then it's 1920 by 1080 pixels. That's the amount of pixels that the video has. Okay. Next term is frame rate. The frame rate is the amount of frames shown per second, normally in frames per second. The greater the frame rate, the smoother your video is going to be. Okay, so if your video looks like it's a little bit kind of jaggedy, you might want to increase the frame rate. Single pass encoding is the next term. Now, this means a single pass encode means that the video is only encoded once. There is also two pass encoding. This means that the video is encoded twice, okay? This increases the quality of your video file. So if you do a two-pass encoding, it's going to take longer, but you're going to have higher quality video after, because you're just encoding it twice. Obviously, if you encode it twice, two times is always better than once. So keyframes is the next term. So this is something that can be quite confusing. What a keyframe does is it takes a full image of the video. Okay, so one of the many things that compression does in order to bring down the file size of that video file is it'll only do the changes in the video. So only the changes in the video are stored in that data stream. It's quite complicated. It's quite hard to explain. But let's say I move my arm. Only that arm movement is going to change in that data stream. Okay? Whereas when you encode, or if you put a keyframe in it, it changes the entire image again. So it's like refreshing. Okay? That's basically what you're doing. With a keyframe, it's going to just reload the entire image. Whereas if you're not doing a keyframe, it's only going to reload the changes in that image. Okay, that's basically what it is. That's what it is. That's the way I should have explained it the first time. So now I'm going to go over the encoding settings for video encoding. I'm going to go over, first of all, the minimum video encoding settings for standard definition video. First thing is, of course, use the H.264 codec for a finished podcast. The H.264 codec is a pretty good codec because the file sizes tend to be quite small, and also it is, again, universally supported by pretty much every device out there. All web browsers pretty much support it too. So The resolution I recommend you set for standard definition, for the minimum encoding settings for standard definition video, is 640 pixels by 360 pixels. That's 640 pixels by 360 pixels. The frame rate I recommend is, the minimum frame rate here, I'm going to set to 25 frames per second, 25 FPS. The bit rate is set to 400 kilobits per second at single pass encoding with a variable bit rate. And the keyframe is going to be set to every 240 frames. Again, all of these encoding settings will be available on the show notes for this episode of Inside the Studio. Now I'm going to go over to my video encoding settings for standard definition video. So when I'm doing standard definition, if I'm doing standard definition video, if I'm encoding it for that, this is what I probably use. I would, again, use this, the H.264 codec, which you should if you're putting out a finished podcast. The resolution I set to is 854 pixels by 480 pixels. Now, let me just explain that. What you want to do with standard definition video is you want to make sure that you have it set to the 16:9 aspect ratio. So that's the that's what makes it that rectangular box, okay? And so if you have 854 pixels going across the way, if you have 480 pixels going down the way, that makes up that 16:9 ratio. So that's not technically 16:9 resolution, however, because I think it's 853.3 reoccurring is the actual resolution. But in order for a pixel to be a pixel, it has to be a full pixel. You can't have 853.33333 pixels. So some people do 853, but most people do is actually just set it to 854 pixels by 480 pixels. That's just explaining that. The frame rate I set to is 30 frames per second. The bit rate I do is 800 kilobits per second. And the keyframe, I set the keyframe to every 90 frames. Now, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say the recommended video encoding or the minimum video encoding settings for high definition video at 720p. Okay? This is H.264 codec, 1280 by 720 pixels is the resolution, of course, has to be if it's 720p high definition video. The frame rate, 25 frames per second is the minimum you can go with. The bit rate is 1.2 megabits per second or 1,200 kilobits per second. And the keyframe is set to every 240 frames. So now what are my settings for high definition 720p video? Well, I do exactly that. I do the minimum settings, and that's because I'm unlimited. If I'm doing high-definition video, I'm unlimited internet here. My upload is quite limited, so I have to try and compress it as much as possible without losing quality. And for 720p video, that is probably the minimum you can get away with without pixelation and stuff like that. So that's what I do when I'm doing HD video. Of course, you could probably up it to about 1,500 kilobits per second and see an improvement. You can keyframe it every 90 frames. You could do 30 frames per second. Lots of different things there to improve your video. But personally, I don't think, like, for me, the only reason really why I don't do that is because I don't have the kind of bandwidth. I need to make sure that my audio, my video files are going to be as small as possible. So that pretty much wraps up the encoding, audio and video encoding, a finished podcast only. There are all the settings I recommend and a lot of that jargon that you should know when it comes to encoding. Don't worry if you don't understand the sample rate. It can be a little bit confusing, but I was going to talk about audio file tagging, but that's going to have to wait till next week. Okay, and also making a backup of your podcast, that will be on next week's show. Along with my update of my video podcast hosting, I will give an update there next week on next week's show, but we're just out of time, unfortunately. So I will be back next week for another episode of Inside the Studio. I want to thank you very much for watching or listening to this episode of Inside the Studio. My name is Michael McAndrew. You can follow me on Twitter at TalksAboutTech1. I'm moving over to a new Twitter account. I've been doing so for maybe the past month now. So I recommend that if you're following me on Talks About Tech on Twitter now, follow me on Talks About Tech 1. That's my new Twitter account. So I recommend you do that. You can email me at michael@talksabouttech.com. I recommend that you, if you have a question, if you have a question about podcasting, no matter what it is, email it to me. Let me know if you want me to answer that question on the show, or if you don't want me to answer that question on the show, send it in the email so that I know, and I will try my best to help you out. I'll email you back or answer that question for you on the show. Try my best to help you out. You can also follow me on Google Plus. Michael McAndrew is my name there on Google Plus. Pretty easy to find. So that pretty much wraps up this episode of Inside the Studio. We'll be back next week for another episode. And I will see you then. Thank you very much for watching.